All right, we're going.
Ready?
Yes.
All right, welcome everybody and good evening. My name is Kyle Schiketti, I'm the Chair of the Animal Control Advisory Board. We are convening our public meeting this evening. First on our agenda is a call to order roll call. I will conduct the roll call. We're here, just respond by saying here. Tara Sporco. Kat Meiser.
Yeah.
Sandra Hungate.
Yeah.
Rebecca Rodriguez.
Here.
Kyle Schiketti is here, Robert Couch.
Here.
Rebecca Holliday.
Here.
Kara Engvall.
Here.
And Jen Rylander.
Here.
All right, I see that we have quorum and we are authorized to proceed forward with our meeting. I'll entertain a motion to adopt the recording of our last meeting as the minutes of that meeting held, what, 3 months ago, was it? So I'll entertain a motion to that.
A second.
Do I have a motion first?
Motion.
All right, I've got a motion from Ms. Meiser and a second. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, our first item of our second item is reports, Animal Protection Control Quarter 2 report, hearing staff reports, and I'll turn it over to Ms. Goddard.
Thank you. We have a lot to get through tonight, so I'm just going to make this quick. These are statistics, you see them all the time, and they are basically outlining a request for service, notices of violation, or appeal hearings, or pet licensing, and sheltering. And this is for July, August, September, and you see the totals there. At our next meeting, you will get cumulative 2023 numbers, so we'll be able to see where we're at. You'll notice July was busy, August was busy. September, we're always still busy, but it started to go down a little bit in September. So what I think you might notice that is different is notices issued, violations and abatement orders, and the citations we collect. You can see those are going up. And the hearings examiner, we had 7 hearings in July, 5 in August, and 1 in September. And we have some more coming up in October. So I want to digress a little bit on the statistics and go talk about the hearings examiner. I put in a budget package this year for 2023 to shore up the budget for the hearings examiner. Judicial proceedings is what the line item is in the budget. I ran out of money. We had a 200% increase in citations over last year to this year so far. Our wonderful officers are out doing their job, doing it well, and responding to complaints. And the complaints are going up, and the investigations are going up, and as a result, the citations and abatement orders are going up. A lot of people are appealing those orders, even if they know that they're going to be guilty. I think we have this, we try our best to explain to folks, if you go and lose, it could be a frivolous appeal, which can cost you. If you just want, we're trying to encourage people, if they just want a reduction in their fines, or if they just want to tell somebody their story, that they're welcome to come and bring that to you all in the form of a tribunal, which is what we've been trying to do over the last couple of meetings. The budget piece got approved earlier this month, I'm really happy to have that support, and that will affect going forward. The 2024 request that I have in for the same to make sure that we have enough budget shored up for that for judicial proceedings will also then be approved because we have signed a new contract with Joe Turner, our hearings examiner, and extended his contract. So that's a positive commitment that the council has approved for our program. And I think that's just important to mention because it just shows that they are supportive and being supportive and understand. So with that, are there any particular questions regarding the statistics?
I have one. Just said, you know, that if they lose, they might have to pay the fines.
Yes.
Would they pay the whole time of the examiner? Like, then it becomes free for us.
It's called cost recovery, right? Mm-hmm. And general fund departments, yes, we are, the counselors are really big on wanting to cover the cost of the services that are provided. You will find it later when we get to that other section of new code changes, but I have changed that code a little bit, and there's a reason for that. We'll talk about that later, but it would be the actual cost of the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever Mr. Turner spends and bills the county, we would then turn around and pass that on to the losing appellate.
And how many other hearings are won versus lost? So that you get an estimate of maybe how much you would.
Yeah. So I would say that, this is two things. We are 100% winners, but we're not 100% winners of every single count potentially on a case. So if the officers write four things for an account, maybe they win three of the four.
Okay.
Right. So we don't take writing citations lightly. They're very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't anticipate losing when we write them. And I think in the one or two instances where we've lost a count, it has really been interpretation of code language not being written either properly or clear. So.
And we're going to have more discussion about that.
We will. Yes.
Any other questions about statistics? Okay. Is that it for that category?
It is. I don't have nothing left to add.
For the code, for the, that would be the report. Okay.
Yeah, so then I think the next item for discussion before we hear our appeals is discuss the appeals process.
Okay, go ahead and do that.
I know at least one of you has raised a concern about processing or appeals process, and I guess I would like to turn this over to you to determine what makes you comfortable in hearing these appeals, what you need or what you think you need. I want to be very clear. The things that are coming to the advisory board are not for you to judge in terms of guilt or innocence. There is no dispute by the appellant that the infraction occurred. So we're not determining whether or not the infraction occurred. It occurred, and they agreed that it occurred. They're admitting their guilt. What they're asking for is a reduction of fines. And so really, let's kind of start there with what are some criteria or that you would want to consider for a reduction in fines. And I have just a couple suggestions, but I really want you to kind of think about this and then provide some feedback. This is, you know, a process for you guys to develop internally. I have suggested before that we're getting so many of these now, and I think we will continue to do so. I would prefer to increase it because it's more cost effective to the taxpayer to do it this way. If the appellant has admitted to guilt. So I would love to see what I would call an appeals committee meet potentially monthly to do these so that they don't all stack up and pile up and they take less time here at each advisory board meeting and have maybe 3 to 5 members of the board of the advisory board on that appeals committee. You can have a chair which maybe is static, and then maybe you can all take turns being on that committee. That's just a suggestion. And then as far as criteria suggestions go, under no circumstances do I think we waive fees 100%. I'm not interested in that. They committed the crime, we've spent the time. I'm not opposed to good faith efforts of people and mistakes they've made once in reducing fines, but I would recommend that you don't consider waiving fees entirely. You may want to consider what that reduction looks like. 50%, I think, is the most that I would suggest. Half, and maybe something in between. So what would that be, 25% or 50%? That's a suggestion. Repeat offender, no reduction. That's a suggestion. If they're compliant and contrite and you know, hey, I made a mistake, or hey, I didn't know. First time offense, automatically a reduction. That's another suggestion. So those are some of the suggestions that I have. But I really want that to be a group discussion and
All right. Well, I have a question on that. So I went through
as a lawyer would, I went through the
code, and I saw where our guidance is under 8.01.0. It says the duties of the Animal Protection and Control Advisory Board are as follows. One of those, A, B, C. B is may act as an appeal hearing tribunal pursuant to 8.19.080. Provided that this hearing function may be delegated to a subcommittee of the advisory board comprised of no less than 3 voting members.
Yep.
Is that all the guidance we have?
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Okay. That's all you got.
And in my experience, I don't know that we've ever reduced to 0.
Yeah.
I don't recall doing that at all.
Yeah.
Live with the duck.
I don't recall any.
Yeah.
Even the ducks.
Even the birds.
Yes. So I
think we would strive not to do that, because according to the citations themselves, as Scott mentioned, they've checked the box that says has submitted my written statement with his request for a reduction in monetary penalties. I agree I'm responsible for the violation and request a hearing officer.
Right.
So I guess my preference would be we would very rarely, ever, reduce it to 0. But there may be an extraordinary circumstances out there that we might want to consider that. But I don't know what those might be. Like I said, I haven't seen it.
Well, and it's as simple as maybe writing a process or policy, guiding principle, whatever you want to call it for this group. I mean, it doesn't have to be in the bylaws. It could just be an operating procedure. And maybe that's, you know, one of the bullet points is, you know, only waiving the fee under extraordinary circumstances to be determined on an individual basis.
I suppose that policy could be amended from time to time to address different issues.
We discussed that last time. You brought up the idea that there may be a situation where we do that, but we also want to honor the fact that we have people who are spending a huge number of hours trying to provide service. Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, I'll go back to, we are fairly intentional with our citations and abatements. So, you know, we may have given this person 3 other chances before they had, we decided to write them a citation.
And that's in the paper we received. We see, we contacted them, they went back out, and so on.
And certainly I think that we should give a significant amount of deference to the officers and the folks who are mm-hmm. in the field doing this rather than us having to second guess it. Nevertheless, we are given the authority to reduce those monetary amounts.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's well within our authority to do.
And I that is your decision to make. You can take what I say and doesn't matter. It's just suggestion, and it's a starting point. It's a jumping off point is what I basically mean.
When I say deference to the officers, I'm also meaning
I understand.
I mean, I'm happy to say that I was at least one person who requested that we debrief on this, because I had, as I discussed with Kyle since, as the lawyer who kind of headed this up, I had a lot of discomfort with how subjective we seem to be being, and I called myself out when I spoke to Kyle, because I have very strong feelings about these kinds of, you know, violations. And so, you know, I didn't want to be mindlessly hardcore or bow to my own subjectivity. My own profession is as an ethicist. And so It's a very regimented process. It's nothing to do with my personal feelings or whether that person is wearing a dress I like that day or they seem so kind with their dog. I was more looking for criteria standards, you know, and Robert sort of, you were trying to get numbers of dogs and geese and try to seek standards, but I felt like a couple of us, also were drawing on our own subjective experience. And so I left kind of uncomfortable, but I was on Zoom, and I was muted half the time and unable to speak and hear. And I thought, God, I must have missed something because it must have been presented before we did it. So I also felt ill-equipped. So that's, that was my own.
It's almost a harder decision or more complex than the hearings examiner because the hearings examiner is just solely based on the code and the law. And here you have some discretion where I would say the hearings examiner has very little of that. So I understand, and that's why we're having this discussion.
I like that it's funny because I kind of feel almost the opposite, like in a different way. Like I think that, especially for my brain, it doesn't work very well when there's like black and white. Mm-hmm. It's really great that we all have all these different experiences and these different feelings that we can all talk together after we see the appeals and be able to be subjective. So it's kind of hard, like first offense gets this much off when, you know, they don't seem very sorry.
And I didn't mean that as a rule that somebody was the first offense. And those are good conversations to have, and that's why there's many of them, and that's why you'll have maybe some differing opinions and different votes. Majority rules.
And I didn't mean black and white at all, and I certainly didn't mean to set up, we never do this, we do this at all. But I'm strongly inclined to honor the work of the field agents, having had the great privilege to go out on a ride-along, which taught me a lot. It was fantastic. I recommend it, not to use up their time.
And maybe just having this discussion is good enough for now. And we can, agree to understand that we're coming from different points of view with some similar guiding principles. And then you're still going to make the decision that you want to make.
And I mean, ethics is gray, gray, and more gray. If you're not very comfortable operating, and it was medical ethics, so medical uncertainty, ethical uncertainty, very complex stuff.
When I'm on an interview panel for a job position and I'm interviewing, and I have to, there's five of us and we combine our scores and all the things, right? I'm a very low scorer, but I'm consistent that way. So I'm consistent. And so my two, somebody else might be giving a four. And as long as they're using that same criteria to give the fours, and I'm using the same criteria to give the twos, then it works out in the end. So there's that.
I love all of the criteria you suggested, and I'm very much supportive of the repeat offender, no reduction, especially because the officers already recommend, I think, on all of them, right, that we upheld the fee. And I also worry about if we publish anything that says, if this is your first offense, there's criteria, then they might come more. And I don't think we want people to come more. We want them to come less overall. So I think we have to be very careful on that point.
Right.
But all the recommendations from the officers are really super helpful. And so I'm almost tempted to say, as a default, that we could write, you can come, but it's more likely that it will not be decreased
or waived
or something like that. That way we don't invite even more people to come. And we know that these fees help the budget that is already very small. So
on the other hand, you have speeding tickets out there and you can go and request a hearing or you can request some kind of accommodation. And most municipalities are like, okay, reduce it a little bit, especially if they seem to be sorry or understanding that they committed the violation. And that serves as eliminating that hearing altogether, which costs money.
Right. Which is the goal for me. That's the goal.
If you start putting in there, well, it's very unlikely that you're going to get a reduction, then you're probably going to see more hearings.
Right, and I think what you said was, is it says on the back of that form, a reduction in fees. It doesn't say an elimination of fees.
I think you also brought up in the past, I think it was good, we're looking at the fact that they've already signed it.
They're guilty.
They're guilty.
Yeah.
And then we, what I'm looking for, and you asked me before, I'm looking what they're doing to address the problem for the future.
Right.
And previous decisions, how we've made decisions in the past.
Right.
To have continuity. So I think you're quite on with that.
Yeah. So with that said, and we have people waiting, are we comfortable having, hearing the two people in person? We are not making, we do not have to make any decisions in front of them. We can thank them for their time, and a decision will be mailed to them. And we'll make that decision at a later time, later today. At a later time, that's fine.
Necessarily yep. Sticking nope. Around.
Mm-hmm. We'll take this under advisement.
All right. So are we okay with moving forward with the appeal? Yeah. Right. And if we can do the two that are here. Mm-hmm. The other ones aren't appearing at all, is that correct?
They're
correct. The rest have written statements.
So it makes some sense to me to just go ahead and do the two that are here.
Yeah.
Get them out of the way and then do the rest of them and then finish our agenda.
That's
just okay. So we're not
yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. All right, let's do that.
All right.
I'm going to call in Min. I don't know how to say their last name. I'm going to call them first since they were here first.
Yeah. I'd like to take a moment, and Officer Nicole Leslie is here. She's one of our animal control officers who has come to join us. I appreciate her being here, and if you have any questions or comments for her, or want to hear a good story, I'm sure she'll tell you.
Welcome.
And she's also in her shadow.
Let's turn the chairs.
Nobody wants to stand with the guys. So formal.
Welcome. Is it Lee?
Yes,
Yes. Welcome. We appreciate you coming. We understand that you have requested a mitigation of monetary penalty with regard to a animal control violation. We have the report from the animal control staff report, and we have your response that said that you would like to come in and explain the situation. And so the members of the board have all read through the materials, and we welcome your explanation and what you'd like to tell us. And then at some point we will deliberate in the future, and then you will receive a written response in the mail. Exactly. Okay, so we won't be doing anything today, but you will get a response. Yeah. So with that, we'll go ahead and turn it over to you and tell us your perspective.
Yes. Hello, all. My name is Min Bui, and this is my wife, Nguyen Tran. And when the incident happened, I wasn't at home, but I know because I registered my dog under my name. So I know I have to be responsible. That's why I wrote the letter. My wife is not really good in English, but she can explain the whole situation with all of you, and then I can just translate that. But we really want to explain what is going on, and the truth is what is going on. Yeah, when I got the officer came to me, he said, oh no, you know. And my wife shared with me, but now I want my wife to share with all of you what is going on. So yes, thank you very much.
Cuối tháng 7 hay đầu tháng 8 là khoảng em không nhớ ngày nào, khoảng là một năm nay tôi đi.
So in around end of July and within July and August, my wife don't remember exactly, but it's late at night, 9:30. So at that time, my wife take the dog out. My dog, the dog have a collar on it and the shocker, and then also the leash that with her, but right in front of our driveway. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and then hai con chó đó cái thằng đó nó cột cái cổng đó nó bỏ hai người thôi, còn cái dắt hai chó nó bỏ đi cái cổng đây, thì cái người nó đi.
So there's one gentleman with the two dogs, it's a pit bull, that he did not hold the leash, but he had the leash around his waist, and then let the dog not drag him.
Chó mình đó, chó mình bị hủi, là nó cắn cái chó mình mới nằm xuống, ngồi xuống.
So my dog. Dog like to sniff because we took the dog out to the dog park and they like to go and sniff other dogs. So the dog, you know, just about to go and sniff the other dog and the other two, you know, attack my dog and my dog was gonna lay down immediately.
Yeah, and thằng nó chửi, em, xong rồi em rất là sợ, mà em mới lại con chó em là cái cổ nó như là rút miếng, nhưng mà em cũng sợ, em cũng có câu chỉ mà nó như là đi đụng nó thì nó chịu ép đấy.
Yeah, so that gentleman was cursed as my wife, and then he walked away, and then my wife came and checked on the dog, our dog, which is Jet, and then his neck was with all the you know, all wet and stuff. But when my wife touched my dog neck, and then he made a sound of like kind of hurting sounds.
Là nó bỏ đi, nó cũng chửi nữa, vừa đi nó vừa chửi. Xong thấy em sợ quá thì em dắt chó vô nhà lại.
As the gentleman walked away, but he still turned back and cursed at my wife. And then my wife so scared and bring my dog back inside the house. Even though we see have not passed the driveway yet. Yeah. And that's the story. And we brought with us the information, the picture of the dog that we took to the dog park, like, you know, the dog really friendly. So we took him to the dog park, you know, every day that we, you know, Sunday house, we took him there. And we have approved of he boarding training with the K9 Universal in Clackamas. Yeah, so this is his proof. And then I registered my dog with the Clack County for, I think, 3 years now. He have his name tag, he have everything registered. And also we brought all the vaccination that proved that we love our dog and we took really good care of our dog. And there's some picture here that proved that the dog really friendly. Mm-hmm. And dog, it just, you know, if the dog is angry, you know, we cannot take them to the dog park because, you know, all the people will not happy. But our dog is really friendly because it's been trained and it's really nice. And this is all the information, because he have his certificate, and this is the place that we took him boarding with the trainer. And this is information that we registered him with Clack Healthy. Yeah, when we bought him, we registered him right away. That's what is under my name. And his name is Jeff, who said my last name too. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And that's all that we want to explain with all of you is the truth and what has happened there. Because I was not there, so I cannot write in there and say, okay, this is what happened. I want my wife to come here and share what has happened, the incident that night with all of you. So hopefully you guys can understand our situation, because we feel like, okay, this is not true, because our dog is so nice. We got two little boys, they grown up with the boys, and K9 is really friendly if you train them right. and they are really loyalty, and they will not, you know, they will not, you know, just run and just buy or do anything like that if you train them right. And I send them to school, and it's costly too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
So where did the did you say that the altercation between the dogs was in your driveway?
Yes, right in front of the driveway.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like my wife have not had a chance to take him out past, you know, the street yet. It just happened in front of our house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
So basically you're saying that the other person's report is incorrect. That they lied about the situation.
Yes. So this is what I think, but I'm not sure. The two dogs that they have, as my wife described, I think it's really aggressive dog, which is the pit bull. So, and then with the owner that, you know, and my wife is a lady. As a gentleman, you know, if you get in that kind of stuff, you will not trust the lady, because it doesn't matter, you know, you're a man, you will scare them. You know, if you, and then things happen to the pet that they love, that my wife loved the dog, you know, they is already scared. And now, you know, you're a gentleman and you curse at the lady, that's just not the right thing to do at all. Yeah.
So you said, okay, so your dog is in your, you know, you're in your driveway.
Yes.
He's walking along the sidewalk.
Yes.
With the thing.
Yes.
Okay. Which means with this diameter that his dog can actually get into your driveway and off the sidewalk.
Yes, there's the sidewalk here. Yeah, and our driveway is out. So because it's late night, so my wife walked the dog out. So that's when the dog met each other.
Okay.
But yeah, we have not, you know, out the street yet. Wife is still, you know, in the driveway, and obviously in the driveway, and things happen. Yeah.
How did the injury happen to the other dog's leg that was reported?
As my wife told me, my dog got no chance at all, because the other two was, you know, really aggressive, and, you know, attacked my dog, and my dog, like, he like kind of bowed right away, he kind of laid out right away, so there's no way that my dog can attack the other dog. And my wife just shared with me that she remembered that he did not wear a shirt at that time. No, him, the owner.
The owner.
I think it's kind of warm. That's why, you know, the owner don't want to wear any, you know, shirt, you know, to take the dog out. But so my wife say that before that incident, every time that she go out, if she see him, she will try to, you know, walk opposite direction with him.
Right. Any other questions?
Did you ask your wife if any time that during that altercation, the other person's dogs come into your driveway?
Yes, it happened right in front of our driveway, in our driveway.
But in front of or in your driveway?
Like, okay, the driveway is from the garage out to the sidewalk.
Yes.
So yeah, it's what I say in front is, you know, like in the sidewalk, which is, you know, because it's still a driveway, so it's in the.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. No. It's good. So this is the road.
Yeah. That's.
This is the driveway. Yes. Sidewalk.
Yes.
This is your driveway.
Yes, correct.
So his dogs came into your.
So in the driveway, okay. Not the sidewalk. Yes.
Okay. Because there's a difference.
Yes,
a
correct.
Difference.
Yes, because
this
it's
your private property.
And that's his public.
This is public.
Yes, correct.
So
yes.
That's the.
Yes. So yeah, my wife tried to explain to me it's still in our driveway. It's not out to the sidewalk yet.
Okay.
And we, oh, I just want to show this. So when we complete boarding with, you know, Ralph with the trainer, and he gave us this. So when every time that we wear this, you know, so it's just like, for some reason, it's really nice, you know, but we never have to use it.
So that may bring to my next question.
Yes.
From that time, what have you done from that time until now to improve of the situation that this altercation with that dog or any dog with her? And you said you have a new training device?
Yes, this was gift to us when he completes the training.
Why do you think the other party told a different story?
Tại sao mà em nghĩ là người kia nói dối?
Mới đầu em là tại vì em check cho em không sao. Nếu mà em biết cho em có sao là em sẽ report nó rồi. Mà em cũng không biết nó đâu. Tại vì em check cho em ok.
So, my wife say, after the incident, she checked the dog and the dog is okay. Even though, you know, he have a little sore, but it's okay. And then that's why she said, oh, you know, I don't want to report or anything. And I don't even know where that guy lives.
Any other questions? That's fine. All right. Thank you so much. As I mentioned, we will take everything under advisement, and then you will receive from us a written response as to what the committee deems appropriate.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Which I need to bring up to you. Okay.
Oh, no, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much again for your
time. Thank you.
So, who is our next appellant?
Mr. Small.
Do we discuss them before them?
She's grabbing them right now.
Yeah,
so
we'll do that first, then we'll circle back.
Sorry.
So, Mr. Shetler, did you say?
Small.
Good evening. Thank you for coming. Dugan?
Yeah.
Jordan?
Charney.
Okay. We understand that you are here today for a mitigation of monetary assessment. This is the Animal Control Advisory Board authority to mitigate violations where appropriate. It's not always appropriate. We need to give folks an opportunity to come in and share your side. We have the report from the County Animal Protection and Control, or Animal Control. And we also have I don't know if we have a statement from you or not. Did you a short statement?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go. Story of what happened changed, and the neighbor who reported this does not have a broken wrist. Okay. So we have that material, and this is your opportunity to expand on that. We appreciate you coming in. And so with that, we'll just turn it over to you. And then after you're complete with your presentation, there may be some questions from the committee.
Absolutely. Excuse me, we're both very nervous. We didn't realize we were going to be speaking in front of people. That's not our job. So, sorry. Dugan was at work the day that the animal control officer showed up. It was a female. I can't remember her name. She advised me that one of our dogs, at the time we had three, we now have two. The German Shepherd left our property. According to our neighbor, she didn't tell us which neighbor, obviously, out of like privacy and that. And he attacked their dog that they were walking on a leash outside of our property. And that caused the gentleman to fall and break his wrist. Obviously, I was pretty shocked. Typically, our dogs don't leave, ever leave the property. They're very good with recall training.
especially the German Shepherd, as in, he's the biggest one of all the dogs. We feel like he's probably the most scary, if you will. So we wanted him to have the most training. But so I told her, you know, I didn't understand exactly what had happened. So, you know, we don't have cameras or anything. So, you know, I was just kind of going by what was said by her. I did tell her that we do have a kennel. We have 5 acres, and we did buy a kennel just to make sure he was put away properly when we left the premises, just in case he were to leave the property. My dog is a Doberman Pinscher. She stays in the house. At the time, my parents had a Border Collie, which we've since had to have put down. But yeah, the Doberman stays in the house. Obviously, the German Shepherd stays out in the kennel. I showed the animal control, you know, the kennel, that what we were dealing with. He is absolutely an escape artist. I don't know if any of you have ever dealt with German Shepherds, but oh my goodness. We literally had to like reinforce the cyclone fencing in the kennel. We had to wrap it around the entire kennel. Quite embarrassing. It looks like a jail cell. And we're still to this day having issues with him breaking out. But that was our solution at the time. You know, since we've reinforced it for the 15,000th time, it seems to have kept him in for the past couple of months. Unfortunately, we did realize that the complaint came from our newest neighbors. They just built a house next door to us, and that's been very hard on the dogs, as that's been an empty field their entire lives, and now there's construction in the house and whatnot. But we did notice that he had a sling on his wrist, so we did obviously assume that the complaint came from him. And we seen that on his wrist, 2 or 3 days? I would say maybe like a week, and then it just kind of disappeared. That didn't really like hold a lot of significance to us at the time until October 1st, when my boyfriend was unfortunately in a motorcycle accident and broke his wrist. And he literally just got his cast off today, after 8 weeks. So it's just hard for us to kind of believe that maybe he broke his wrist if he was not in a cast. And we're just, our dog's not aggressive in any way. I'm just saying that when we first moved in last March, he did have get along with all of our dogs and such. And then my parents decided to kind of keep their Border Collie away from him, and it did kind of build up a little tension, and there was a little bit of aggression there. But it may sound negative, I guess, but we feel that if the dog got out of the property and initiated a fight or got into a fight, we feel like he would not have stopped, if that makes sense. He would have felt like he was protecting his property and his family. And I don't really feel like he would have initiated something without, you know, proper, like, you know, I can't think of the word right now, I'm sorry. We just feel like he wouldn't have caused that kind of aggression.
Okay. Anything further before I open it up to questions? All right. Anybody have any questions?
Well, I mean, I don't know for whom this is a question, because you don't know who reported you. We do, but I was attacked by a dog once and badly injured, and I have slews of medical records to prove the injuries. And in that state, it automatically went to a court. The people got a citation upon the biting, attacking dog, and then it went to a court. So here, is there a way to check medical records, or is that not like normal process?
I think we had a cast. He was injured, but it was a break.
And again, I'm sure, you know, the animal control officer might have said, oh, there was a break, it might have turned out to be a sprain. I'm in the medical field, so I know about those things.
It was based on his sworn statement.
And we, obviously not us, but my father has went over and spoke with the gentleman that went to the complaint, and he said that he felt that he would feel more comfortable if we had a gate on our driveway. Like I said, we live on 5 acres. It's completely fenced except for that entryway on our driveway. And it's been quite a process, because probably the past couple of months, since obviously this has been ongoing, we've noticed that both of them typically walk the dog on our side of the street in front of the driveway, literally in our driveway apron. And it just doesn't really make sense to us that if he's saying that, you know, he's absolutely deathly terrified that the dog has attacked him, why would you continue to walk your dog in front of the only area that, you know, our dogs could come out? And it just almost kind of seems like it's a little bit much of like a provoking situation. But like I said, my father did go over there and say, you know, it's not my dog, it's, you know, my future son-in-law's dog and everything. And we feel like we've kind of tried to like iron out the situation as much as we can, but it's just a very unfortunate situation.
When you said in your statement, neighbor in question, is it still antagonizing our dogs? You mean just walking?
Yes, walking by. Occasionally they will stop and like, we can't hear what they say, obviously, because we're like in the middle of the property, but it's almost like they're trying to pull their dog in with the leash. I also noticed too on a couple occasions that the dog has tried to like lunge at motor vehicles when, you know, she or he is walking the dog. And to us, that just makes us really nervous because, you know, we don't want their dog to get hit. We don't want our dogs to get hit. And it's just kind of a situation we don't understand where they have, you know, all this acreage and they still walk the dog on a very heavily, you know, trafficked county road that just doesn't seem safe to us. We're just trying to come up with the best solution, you know, for this situation as we can.
Thank you.
Why have you guys not installed a gate at your entrance?
Finances. It's kind of expensive. My parents bought the home in 2004, so the driveway kind of up is an upward angle. So if we bought a gate, we would have to either like shave down the concrete in the driveway, or we would have to get like a dual opening gate, and it's probably about $1,200 to get a gate and gate opener. So it's kind of spendy. Like I said, we did have to break down and buy that kennel because we weren't sure, you know, we just didn't want him to be out in the street if, you know, if that was happening. We've never seen him leave the property, but we wanted to make sure and, you know, take everything we could. That kennel alone was $500, and that was, you know, pretty expensive.
Yeah. Other questions?
Yes, I'd like to know, have you communicated with this neighbor who walks right in front of your driveway? Do they bring him into your driveway at all, or are they just walking by on the street?
So it's kind of a hard thing to explain. So our driveway obviously goes up to the county road, but we have like kind of an apron, and then it's probably like, what, 10 feet? Maybe 10 feet from the road to the entrance of the property, we have two poles, and that's where we would install a gate. But they typically walk in the driveway and kind of like get out of the way if there's a car coming. And obviously that, you know, the dogs think they're coming into the property, so they start to, you know, bark and assume dominance. Like I said, they both have really good recall training. If we call them, they come back, but it's a worrisome for us. We're just afraid that, you know, even if they're trying to get out of the way of, you know, the dog, the car, you know, we still feel like, you know, they're kind of like tempting fate, if you will. And he did explain to my father that, you know, he felt that they were not doing anything wrong, that they had every right to walk their dog on, you know, county road. And my dad said, absolutely, you know, I wouldn't, you know, just out of safety and, you know, how many accidents have happened out there. But my dad said that, you know, we would be willing to get a gate and install that. And he said that he felt that the dog should be within our property at all times. And my dad said, okay, well, then I feel like that should be justified on your department too. You know, your dog should be kept within your property, you know, to further, you know, not have the situation happen again, to not make the situation arise anymore. And he felt that that was not something him and his wife could abide by. So.
Any questions? All right. Thank you for coming in. We will take this under advisement, and you will receive a written response at a later date.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
We're going to go through the other hearings.
Mm-hmm.
Can we take a moment to go off the record to have a discussion here?
Yeah, briefly? Absolutely.